in your bulletin. Philip, thank you, bro. Back at you, man. One of the biggest questions that Christians ask is, how can I hear God's voice? How do I know that he's speaking to me? Something Philip just said is crazy. Like, in the moment, sometimes you're confused. And in the moment is confusing, but also in the moment, oftentimes, is when God is speaking to us. Last Sunday night, Chris Faye sent me on my iPhone a music video of Josh Wilson's song, Dream Small. How many have heard the song, Dream Small? Okay, five of us, all right. I hadn't heard it until then. And Janet and I listened to it. Oh, would that fit with Ministry Fair? So I'm going to read the words, but we're going to listen to it at the end as we kind of seek the Spirit. Lord, what do you want me to do? Anyway, so that's what I really thought I was supposed to do. And then on Friday, I took our plans, or got our plans for getting that garage building up. They finally got it done. And the architect who's led mission trips down to Peru said, you know what? I just told my Sunday school last week, you guys look to try to do big things. I'm telling you, it's not in the big things. It's in the little things. It's in the small things. That's where the miracles happen. Like, okay, Lord, that's two for two. So listen to these words. They are so neat. And if it's not here, oh, come on. It's in here somewhere. And maybe it's not. Next to the Kleenex box. Yeah. There's so many people that come up and down. Okay, well, I'm going to try to tell you. Oh, there it is. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Small things. Dream Small by Josh Wilson. It's a mama singing songs about the Lord. It's about a daddy spending family time the world says he can't afford. It's these simple moments that change the world. It's the pastor of a tiny church spending 40 years of loving the broken and the hurt. These simple moments change the world. Dream small. Don't bother like you've got to do it all. Just let Jesus use you where you are one day at a time. Live well, loving God and others as yourself. Find little ways where only you can help. With his great love, a tiny rock can make a giant fall. So dream small. It's visiting the widow down the street, dancing on a Friday with your friend with special needs. These simple moments change the world. Of course, there's nothing wrong with bigger dreams. Just don't miss the minutes on your way. Your bigger things, no, because these simple moments change the world. So dream small. Keep loving, keep serving, keep listening, keep learning, keep praying, keep hoping, keep seeking, keep searching out of these small things and watch them grow bigger. The God who does all things makes oceans from rivers. So dream small. Don't bother that you've got to do it all. Just let Jesus use you where you are, one day at a time. Live well, loving God and others as yourself. Find little ways where only you can help. With his great love, a tiny rock can make a giant fall. Yeah, five loaves and two fishes could feed them all. So dream small, dream small. Amen. And let's read about living small. Stand up with me. Let's read how Jesus put it. Matthew chapter 25, Jesus is going to die for us in just a few days. And his disciples ask, well, what's this about the temple and all the rocks or the stones being torn down? And this is what Jesus says in verse 31 of Matthew 25. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on his right, the goats on his left. Then the king, so Jesus calls himself both the Son of Man who comes in glory and the king, will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. You know, all small things. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison or go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Again, think small. Then he'll say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me. They also answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He'll reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for how you do speak to us. Thank you for speaking to us in the moment. And giving Chris Faye that song to pass on to me, and then the architect saying on Friday, it's in the small things. And Lord, I love that refrain, you know, live well, loving God and others as yourself. And by God's love, a tiny rock can make a giant fall. So help us be faithful in the little things and be aware of what you're doing around us in the little things and the moments that pass by. Father, we need a work of your Spirit because we tend to feel overwhelmed and overloaded. And either then we push you away or we take on too much, and either response isn't right. So by your Spirit, Lord, give us the oil, the sweetness, the fragrance of knowing, hey, this is what I'm supposed to do. Somebody just said to me today, hey, I want to be part of the bell ring. Small thing, but it's what's on their heart. Hallelujah. Lord, we give ourselves over to you at the start. Thank you for the young adults, and they're leading us in worship. It's so neat. So neat. Thank you. Thank you for today. Thank you that we can worship and lead. And also, like for Philip, being honest with me and us getting to have a really good talk here on Friday about it all. And we are family. We can confront and rebuke, but also be wrong and forgive and understand better, too. Lord, that's you. And Ephesians comes to mind, Colossians. If you have any grievances, forgive one another. Bear with one another. Forgive as Christ, as the Father has forgiven you through Christ. Thank you. In Jesus' name, we lift you up. And all God's people said, amen. If you can, let's do God's word together. Should be next. And maybe not. Okay, let's do it. This is God's word. It's God's authority over me. It's God telling me who I am and what I'm to do. I will read it, obey it, and share it to be close to Jesus and to bring others to Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Take a seat. Hit one another too if you want for you. So turn now with me to Acts chapter 6. That's page 1700. So go to your right, Acts chapter 6. And I feel like I'm going to be preaching all the way through September and through the first week of October, and I feel like the Lord's telling me to take us through the book of Acts, not every verse or chapter, but to kind of get a handle to prepare us for Friend Day. That's the first Sunday of November, Time Change Sunday. And I also, as you're thinking about Friend Day, think about who you can invite, people who don't go to church. Remember, we did the thing in 1980. 25% of people in Stark County didn't go to church. In 2018, 50% don't go. In 2018, 75% of Portage County don't go. And only about 10% of people in Portage County and Stark County go to a Bible-believing, gospel-preaching church. Only 10%. And only 1% of those under basically the age of 40 go. I mean, the mission field's all around us, amen? I mean, it is all, get bold. But also, have you been missing somebody? Give them a call. Fall time's the time people get back into school and they start gearing up. And in Acts chapter 6, how long do you think it's been since Jesus died and rose again? I mean, the church in chapter 2 went from 120 to 12,000. By chapter 4, there were 5,000 just men, so it was up to 20,000. And then in chapter 6, it says they're increasing. They're now multiplying. Before, God's saying they're just adding. They're probably a church of up to 40 to 50,000 people. How long has it been? Give me a guess, except for Joel, because he knew. How long has it been? Scholars think 12 to 18 months. This church is on fire. And they intuitively knew, maybe they heard the stories that we just read of Jesus saying, hey, you got to take care of the poor, the sick, those in prison. And in the Old Testament, prophets hit pretty hard. Take care of the widows. And in Jerusalem, this is weird, there's more women graves than there are men graves. By a lot. And as a whole, it's about, should be 50-50. Because widows from all over came to Jerusalem for two basic reasons. Number one, this is weird, the rabbis taught that if you didn't die in Palestine and you were a Jew, you were going to go to heaven, but it's going to be really painful to get there because your body would have to roll through the earth until it finally got, and you'd be very dizzy and in pain. So as men who had wealth got near the end of their life, they picked up and moved to Jerusalem so they wouldn't have to do the rolling thing. And then so once they got to Jerusalem, they didn't live very long, and then they had widows. But that still doesn't explain it, because then that would still be a one-to-one ratio. The other thing that happened is the widows who were godly, when their husband died, and they were maybe from Greece or from Italy or wherever, they thought, well, they didn't want to do the rolling thing, so they would sell everything they had, and they would move to Jerusalem, and they would show up poor. And the rabbis literally, they didn't write about this, but we have history of it, that there's too many widows in Jerusalem. We can't take care of them all. So this just wasn't something that was within the church. It was something outside of the church. And church, think about it. What does our society think is a problem today? Well, it's families busting up. It's kids without dads. It's children not knowing how to learn. It's people not involved in doing community. Does the church have the answer to every one of those issues? Does it? You bet it does. We are salt and light. And salt, back in Jesus' day, it's what you got paid with. It was like him saying, you are gold. And spotlight, you are valuable. We have something that we can offer. So with that in mind, let me read chapter 6. And we've looked at what are the marks of an effective church leader. Now we're going to look at the marks of an effective congregation, a growing congregation. For to be an effective leader, you need to be proactive. You need to be prioritized. It's the word and prayer. You need to be empowering, and you have to hold people accountable. And now let's look at what you have to be as a growing congregation. Acts chapter 6. In those days, when the numbers of disciples was increasing, multiplying, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily, they did it every day, in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples, there's the proactiveness, all the disciples together. It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God, there's the priority, in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men, here's the practicality, 7 men, one for each day probably, from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit first, wisdom second, and we'll turn this responsibility over to them, and we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. Now, I want you to read the first sentence of verse 5. Ready with me? This proposal pleased the whole group. First mark of a growing congregation is they're pleasable. Woo-hoo! You know, the older you get, the harder it is to be pleased. Just saying. Today I turned 63. It's getting harder and harder. The longer you go to any church, the harder it is to be pleasable because stuff just starts building up. And that's why Paul says in Colossians 3 and Ephesians 4, you got to keep forgiving as because it keeps building up. I had an interesting experience a couple months ago. And it made me think back. About 12 years ago, there was a couple. And we were friends. I mean, we did stuff together. And they wanted to have a meeting with me. And it's like, okay. The flag goes up. And so we met in my office, and they began sharing their different concerns of the church. And it's like, and one thing that their big concern was, people come in too loud. We need to come in because we're here to worship the Lord, and people shouldn't be talking to each other. It's like, as an extrovert, that's really hard. But chapter and verse. Well, come before the Lord and, you know, let all the earth be silent. You know, God talks about us being quiet six times in the Bible. Do you know how many times he talks about shouting? And it's not either or, it's both and. But it says in Psalm 100, enter his gates with and his courts with praise, shouts. It says in John, 1 John, or 2nd, 3rd John, greet one another with a holy kiss. And there's a time when we have, like, when Philip prayed, when Josiah prayed, that we do get quiet. But when you first come in, you need to be connecting to one another. That's Bible. I'm telling you, that's Bible. And so, I said, man, I can't help you on that one. What we're doing is biblical. Oh, no, we should all be quiet. But then they had another one, and I forget what the second one was. And I go, you have a good point there. I 100% agree. And I got up on the chalkboard and began writing, okay, you know what, we could. And then the husband turned to the wife, and it's one of those uncomfortable moments where you could see that they were uncomfortable, and they look at each other, and like she gives the nod, and he says, it doesn't matter what solutions you come up with, we're leaving. The congregation was what? Pleasable. And just 2 months ago, somebody came up to me and said, I'm so sorry I invited so-and-so to your church. I'm like, I was glad that they were here when they were here. It's like, why do you say that? Because they have left 3-4 churches ever since they left New Baltimore. You just can't please them. God, I thank you. Pleasable. And to be pleasable, you have to be forgiving. You have to be grateful for what you got. You got to look for the good things. If you went through that membership class, would you stand up for a second? There's about 20-some of us. So great. These guys persevered. The class was only supposed to last like 2 months, and it lasted 6. But we had a good time. But this is Jim and Darlene. They started coming here because of the Kaisers and the Neiswangers and the Neps because of homeschooling. So good. And they have a life group. Just keep standing. This is Joel and Lindsay. Now, they have been coming since 1990. 04? Yeah. Kristen, my daughter, and Lindsay sat next to each other playing the flute, right? And that's how you guys got connected, and you got saved here through Olympians. It's so neat. And Joel's now a deacon. This is Aaron and Jamie and Michael Hetrick. Michael, bro, how old are you? 14. He's still coming to us in his class. He likes us older people. And we love him. So please, if you're a teen, you are welcome to come. I didn't say. Jim works at Sarcione's as body man, or that's not what you guys call yourselves, is it? But anyway, and then Darlene watches the kids, but not only watches, but does homeschooling. Joel just got another job at Knox Elementary. Hallelujah. So now they're in the same school district, and he's a gym teacher and coaches wrestling, cross country. It's really good. Aaron works for a conglomerate of, like, nursing homes, and Jamie works with adoption. It's so good. This is Judy Detterling. I just want to say, Judy seems real sweet, but watch her. We played catchphrase last night, and it's men against the women, and the thing's going beep, 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 beep. And so it's ready to go on her, and she'll go, oh, I hit the wrong button. I know you did that. And Judy, her husband, you raised two boys, a boy and a girl, and her husband worked up to three jobs so she could stay home. And this lady, she serves. You thank you for what you do out with the lawn. So neat. This is Pam and Vince. Vince, oh, you came here because of Cheryl, right? You guys came here because of the Joneses. Vince and Pam, you guys came because Mike and Vicky invited you. So neat. And Vince works for Edward Jones in the financial thing. Pam used to work when they had owned a business, but when they sold it, you're now able to stay at home, which is so, so neat. This is Chuck and Carla. You came because of the Fays, right? And they live out in Salem. How far away is it to get here? Half. Oh, that's not too bad. Salem to us sounds like the other side of the world. It's just Chuck and Carl Helps has his own business. He used to work at Lordstown, and with the 2008 bubble popping, and so anyway, just so, so neat. And you guys have been inviting folks. So good. Behind them is Stan. Stan is originally from Russia, works for Rubbermaid. They live in like Uniontown, and Di might be with Nico. So yeah, so good. Well, this is Brad and Heidi. You guys all came from the Joneses too because they're playing soccer, right? So Philip, Rachel, good job. You have adopted. You have Jason, Lillian, and Caden. And Jason and Caden are like half full brothers. And Brad, you work at Ravenna Arsenal. And Heidi, you work at Children's Hospital doing like education. Yes. And Di was working at Children's Hospital in neurology, right? And is now staying at home. What's that? Chuck and Nancy. Now, I also want to say something about watch Chuck. I wouldn't say we cheated Chuck, but we were near the edge, weren't we? We had so much fun last night. This is Chuck and Nancy. Chuck works for Marlboro Township. And Nancy was a school secretary and now is a stay-at-home mom. And you guys are such a blessing. Just so, so, so neat. And then Joe and Chris Fay, they came because Josh, their son, got invited by Josiah. And Chuck and Nancy came because their daughter Heidi and their other daughter Di started coming here. So, so neat. And Joe works in like trucking. Chris stays at home, and they have five kids, and of whom Tiffany and Josh are Tiffany, oh, that's right, she has to be at that meeting today. And Josh, where are you? You're in the way back? Yes, Josh is in the back. He's on our sound system, works with his dad, but would like to, he has a job in, or a degree in accounting. Did I hit everybody? All right, give him a hand. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Thanks, you guys. We got to be pleasable. And what's, we all need this. We need new people because new people have new eyes and they'll say stuff like, man, this is a neat church. And some of us go, well, just wait a little bit. Boy, you guys are friendly. Well, you'll see the real side. You know, you get jaded, you get sarcastic and cynical. And in their paper, like, man, we love the passion, the fire. We were so welcome. The friendliness, the warmth, the acceptance, the love. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's stop and pray for a second. Father, make us pleasable. We need your spirit for that. And Lord, honestly, the longer that we're here, the more hurts that build up. And sweep through, we pray. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for these 20-some folks. Bless them. Use them. Connect them. Help us to connect with them with us, but also show them the ministries. Lord, we are pleased. Thank you. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. The next thing, which is kind of in between the lines, but that's pretty obvious, is I think they had empathy for the newbies. They had empathy for the Grecian widows. It would have been very easy with this church of maybe 40, 50,000 people, and the Greek-speaking Jews are complaining that their widows aren't being taken care of. It would have been very easy for the people who were more in power, more seated. It would have been very easy to say, look, we take care of our widows, you take care of your widows. Look, don't put on us what's actually your responsibility. They did not respond that way. They had an empathy. Something I appreciate about here. If you all who are in the team that are singing today, would you stand up? Give them, once they stand up, a hand. Yeah. Woo! See, we are excited that young adults are up here. Maybe see them. It is awesome. Jace, Ryan, thank you, bro. I mean, seriously, a man bun? Seriously, in church? Oh, yeah. Amen. I mean, I'm sorry, there might be some fire in my eyes, but I have seen people, well, look at how they're dressed, and not that, or tattoos. Are people getting saved? Jesus said, you guys, strain at gnats and swallow camels. Hallelujah. Thanks for wearing your man bun. Amen. Isn't that exciting to see him? New people know people. New people is don't, oh, I've been here for so long. Amen. And stay connected, but know that you have a very important place to make the new person feel accepted, right? To make the new person feel welcome. They have empathy for the newbies. Now, let's go back and verse 5. This proposal pleased the whole group, so they chose, and now that we named some people. As I read this list, I want you to think biblically, I want you to think Old Testament. What names, as we read, remind you of an Old Testament person or character? Are you ready? So they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. What Old Testament people did those names remind you of? Anybody? You can't think of one Old Testament person? You're right. These are not Jewish names. Jesus, Yeshua, was Joshua. James was Greek Jacob. None of these have an Old Testament equivalent. What is that telling you? They picked new people who were Greek-speaking. They put them in leadership, and at the most, they've only been saved for a year. Is that awesome? That is so incredible. That is so intuitive. That is so counterintuitive. That is, we're not going to put people who grew up here in Jerusalem in charge. We're going to put people who just came at Pentecost. We're going to put them in charge. We're going to put people. We're even going to put a guy named, what? Nicholas from Antioch, who's a what? What does that mean he was? He was a Gentile. Pastor Johnson. This would be like me getting to be on your elder board in the hood, if that's where you pastor. What's that white boy doing here, right? I mean, come on. I would feel accepted. I hope you feel accepted, Dave, bro. And I say bro all the time. I don't mean, I'm sorry. No. It gets so weird, doesn't it? That's right, we're brothers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They even pick a Gentile. Are you kidding me? Now, who did these seven become? You don't know. We don't know. But I'm telling you, these seven became the leaders of evangelism. They just didn't take care of widows. As important as that is, Stephen and Philip, Boom, they are the front lines. And then we start reading about the elders at Jerusalem, the apostles and the elders. Who are the elders? They're never named after this, but they're probably these seven. They put new folks in charge of themselves. Is that awesome? Wow. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And so, to be a growing congregation, we need to be pleasable. We need to have empathy, and then we need to empower. Fourth, very interesting, verse 6. It says, they presented these men to the apostles who prayed and laid their hands on them. They presented. The people who were well-entrenched, the people who had roots, the people said, okay, well, you Greek-speaking Jews, go ahead and you take care of yourselves. We don't care. They're the ones who are saying, here's Bob, here's Lee, here's Tom. We're presenting these men to you. Very, very supportive. And then it says in verse 7, so the word of God spread. The numbers of disciples in Jerusalem increased now rapidly. First time that phrase is used. It says, and God added to their number, and they became 12,000. And God added to their number, and they became 20,000. And now they're multiplying, and now they're multiplying rapidly. It's very easy, and this is on us. It's very easy once you hit a certain level to go, you know, let's just catch our breath. Let's just get to know each other first before we do any more reaching out. Not these guys. Problem solved. Let's get on with business. The first time we did Friend Day was 1999, I think. It might have been 2000. And there was a good group of people who said, you know, I don't think we should do Friend Day, Pastor Ken. I don't think we're ready to reach out yet. I think we need to take care of ourselves a little bit more. We need to do both. Amen? And then when we start doing the care team, we start taking cookies to our visitors. Number one complaint I heard, oh, Pastor Ken, we're not ready to take cookies to our visitors. We need to take cookies to ourselves first. Yes. Amen. It's both bad. But they were evangelizing. But now I want to tell you something that really should mess you up. Is they continue to stay outward focused. Even after they are increasing, and there may be a church of 50,000, it says, a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. You and I have no idea what that means. The priests, and they're not sure exactly how many people actually lived in Jerusalem, but probably somewhere between 600,000 to 1.2 million. We don't know how many priests were there, but priests probably, it might have been upwards to 50%. We know that the priests were in power because on the day of Palm Sunday, the crowds, the Galilean crowds, are shouting and they're cutting down palm branches and they're saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. But as soon as they come in Jerusalem, it's only the kids that are still shouting that because the people were afraid. The priests had the power. Now, the priests believed only in the first five books of the Bible, Genesis through Deuteronomy. The priests believed that once you died, you're dead and that's it. Thanks to be you. The priests believed then that they must be the blessed ones because they're priests. And they must have somehow gotten God's special favor. And God's favor is shown through how much money and power you have. The priests sold out to the Romans. When Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan, and the priest walked on the other side of the road of the man who had been robbed, and the Levite walked on the other side of the road, the crowds went, mm-hmm, just like a priest. People hated the priests. They were powerful. They were rich. They were in league with the Romans. They were secular. They didn't believe in heaven. They didn't believe in hell. They didn't believe in any of the prophets or the Psalms. They just believed in the first five books of the Bible, that which was all about them and the priesthood. And the people were like, and not one priest that we know of came to Christ during the gospel period. Not one. But now it says, a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Amen. Okay, I'm picking on the man bun for a second. This is going to be fun. Let's just suppose that word gets out, and next week we have 20 men all have man buns. You going to be okay with that? And I'm telling you something here. I'm telling you something. Everybody's okay as long as they're in control. Right? Hey, we have a singles class. It's okay if you're married. You can join us. We're a singles class. It's okay as long as it's 20%. It starts being 30% married and 70% single. The singles start going, whoa, 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 whoa. Whose class is this anyway? And when you get 50-50, oh, it's war. Oh, it's okay to have one man bun. Okay? It's okay to have one. Lord, forgive us. And so when these priests started infiltrating, how did the rest of the... Oh, man. First, it's the Grecian widow. Now it's priest. Are you kidding me? When is this ever going to end? Till everybody in Jerusalem believes in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Aaron, just stand up for a second. Now, look at this. He's all dressed in black. Hallelujah, bro. It is good to have you here. Amen. Philip, could you just stand up for a second? Yeah, it's okay for him to have his beard when he plays Jesus, but every day. Amen, amen, amen. You can be seated. I'm sorry. Yeah, you're so under authority. I love you, man. Wow. And so we need leaders who are proactive, who are prioritized the word and prayer, who come up with practical ideas, who empower people and hold them accountable. And we need a congregation that's pleasable. Empathetic, that empowers the new person, that supports them, that evangelizes, and we keep going with an outward focus, and that people feel accepted here no matter what they look like or what they think. I'm going to push this a little bit. If a person is transgender, if a person is homosexual, we need to figure out ways to let them know they are accepted. Lifestyle is wrong. Amen. Lifestyle is wrong. But they're a soul that needs Jesus. And it takes the average transgender or homosexual about 5 to 7 years to come to Christ because they have to work through a lot of stuff. Are you willing to walk with them for 5 to 7 years? Don't push them away, please. We're going to take the grace sheet. Now, this is ministry fair. And I just want to go over some things that, well, just what's right here on the table. And if with planning a church, doing a second service, you know, please fill that out, drop that in. That won't be in your bulletin anymore, but, you know, talk to us, and it's good to have dialogue on that. Ministry fair. Now, we're doing this both now as well as out there. Personally, you heard about the bake-off, right? Well, I don't cook, so I had Janet, I don't even shop, so I had Janet get cheesecake things for you guys from Sam's Club. That's my donation. Really, what I wanted to get was ice cream, but I got vetoed because that's going to drip all over. You guys are going to have mint chocolate chip with brownies or vanilla. Oh, see? Ministry fair. The Abide Ministry. Holly, just stand up for a second. Abide Ministry, you are reaching now ladies who have been in the system and are turning 18, been fostered, and they have nowhere to go. Hallelujah. Woo! Bread Ministry, Cliff. Once a week on Saturdays, you have guys that come out and they bring bread, and that's the bread out there. And right now, they're going through something, so it's only the same kind of bread this week. Sorry, we get so picky, but thank you, bro. Need help with that. Child care, Sherry Lowry, Debbie Zellers. It takes at least two, doesn't it? We're Sherry and... Sherry must be in childcare. Debbie, if you would stand up. People know you, but go ahead and stand up. Baby nursery, preschool nursery, toddler worship. Please, and we got to figure out when you don't show up, we got to start saying, hey, you know, you didn't show up last week. You're on this week, or you're going to be a sub. Debbie, thank. Give her a hand. Yay. Then the children's Sunday school, Diana. She's back there too. So that's, I know, Greg, you teach one class. She teaches another class. Is there a third? Debbie teaches the third class. Thank you. So we need help there. Deacon's activities, Bob Klein. Go ahead and stand up. What are deacon's activities? Yeah, like fellowship type stuff. Drama queen. I mean, drama, Janet. My wife. Ooh. I'm going to get it when I go home. Woo. Janet, anything you want to say on drama? Yeah. Amen. Amen. Thank you, honey. I am dyslexic, okay? Jill, door greeters. It means for you to stand. Anything you want to say?
Door greeters. It's important because when you and it's real helpful if there's somebody to rather than, oh, yeah, just go down that hall and turn, right? Ah, no. Take them by the hand and take them down. But up front, we want you to stand up yourself.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Yeah, I move my thumb. Johnny and friends, Grace. Wow. I know it. She's a nursery. Oh, yeah, we'll share. Okay, drama. Funeral dinners, yes, thank you. So whenever we are doing funerals more and more because over half people now are cremated, and so funerals are becoming to be a Saturday thing. And so that really helps us as a church to be able to minister. Johnny and friends, Grace. Neat. Okay. Yeah, because Grace really has a heart for like maybe somebody who's autistic and they need a break. They need a church where they can drop. And most churches can't do that. So bless you on that. And then also drop off crutches whenever you want or wheelchairs, anything. That's so great. Amen. Amen. Junior Church. Did I miss anybody on that one? So Jim West does that every week. Bless him. They meet downstairs. Ladies Ministry, Veronica. Stand up. Do you want to say anything? Amen, amen, amen. Liv, Jim West, Susie, since you, and then you can do meal chain right after that. Many days. I should do that. Thank you. That's a good idea. What? Janet, my sweet. Yes, go ahead. She's a great reader. When we have devotions, yeah, dramatically. My thumb's not working. Amen. 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 Yeah. And different nights, Sundays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Good.